From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the book of Joshua as he brings the next portion of a message entitled The Security of the Saints Illustrated by the Deliverance of Rahab. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from Psalm 9 and verse 1. I will praise Thee, O Lord. Praise should always follow answered prayer, as the mist of earth's gratitude rises when the sun of heaven's love warms the ground. Hath the Lord been gracious to thee, and inclined his ear to the voice of thy supplication? Then praise him as long as thou livest. Let the ripe fruit drop upon the fertile soil from which it drew its life. Deny not a song to him who hath answered thy prayer and given thee the desire of thy heart. To be silent over God's mercies is to incur the guilt of ingratitude. It is to act as basely as the 9 lepers, who, after they had been cured of their leprosy, returned not to give thanks unto the healing Lord. To forget to praise God is to refuse to benefit ourselves. For praise, like prayer, is one great means of promoting the growth of the spiritual life. It helps to remove our burdens, to excite our hope, to increase our faith. It is a healthful and invigorating exercise which quickens the pulse of the believer and nerves him for fresh enterprises in his Master's service. To bless God for mercies received is also the way to benefit our fellow men. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Others who have been in like circumstances shall take comfort if we can say, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Weak hearts will be strengthened, and drooping saints will be revived as they listen to our songs of deliverance. Their doubts and fears will be rebuked as we teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They too shall sing in the ways of the Lord when they hear us magnify his holy name. Praise is the most heavenly of Christian duties. The angels pray not, but they cease not to praise both day and night. And the redeemed, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, are never weary of singing the new song, Worthy is the Lamb.
Every voice and harp is swelling. Sure.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing, the only place of safety in the entire town of Jericho was Rahab's house on the wall, the place marked by the scarlet cord. Rahab was still in Jericho, but she was no longer of it. Now she was in a covenant relationship, not only with the spies, but with God himself. The presence of the army of Israel struck fear into the hearts of Jericho's inhabitants, especially when the walls began to crumble. For Rahab, however, the very things that frightened others brought joy and expectation to her heart. Then Rahab felt a great responsibility to bring all of her loved ones into that place of deliverance. Furthermore, as Dr. Cairns has pointed out, even though Jericho was being devastated, Rahab and her loved ones were safe and secure. Here is Rahab's deliverance from Jericho. The blessed truth is that God's people are safe under any circumstances, for our stability and our security is in Christ. Now to continue this message, the security of the saints, as illustrated by the deliverance of Rahab, here is Dr. Cairns.
I know that salvation is of the Lord, but God's people must be gripped with the urgency of their responsibility. Parents, never forget, never forget your greatest duty and your greatest delight will be to see your children saved. If you leave them out there in Jericho, you may go to heaven, but they'll be damned in hell. This to me is always a fearful thought. God says to his people, children are the heritage of the Lord. God's inheritance. This is what you have from him. Yet so often that heritage is frittered away. It's sold for the pleasures of time. It's sold for the pursuits of the world. Damned irretrievably. We must live with the urgency of our great responsibility to reach out first to our family and then to sinners. Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Necessity is laid upon me. I cannot be silent. I cannot be indifferent. I cannot let my friends and the sinners whom God has placed within my realm of responsibility, I cannot let them perish without an attempt to reach them for Christ. I must live with that sense of urgency and responsibility. And of course, through all that, she lived with an acute sense of expectancy. This is what would buoy her up. This is what would give her courage when she would feel the danger and the threat from the people of Jericho. This is what would have encouraged her from day to day, just this growing sense of expectancy. Faith can never be divorced from expectancy. When you've no expectation, you've no faith. Faith grasps what has been said, but it always is reaching out to what is to come. Faith is always dealing with what the eye of the flesh cannot yet see and the hand of the flesh cannot yet grasp, but it grasps it joyfully because it recognizes the reality of everything God has promised. Here is Rahab's detainment in Jericho, and that is how we are to live while we're in the world, but not of it. But that period will pass, as it passed with Rahab. We look at her deliverance from Jericho. We have read in verse 25, Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. Now, when I thought of that, I thought that there's a great lesson here. If Rahab was safe in Jericho, the child of God is safe anywhere. Now, if you forget all else that I'm about to say in this, remember that. The devil seeks to debilitate the people of God with unwarranted fear. This terrorizing fear. So many of God's people are living their lives in fear. Fear of themselves, fear of the unknown, fear of disease, fear of death, fear of the ungodly, whatever it is, fear of just about anything. So often afraid to live, afraid to serve, afraid to die, afraid for anything. But here is the truth. If Rahab was safe, living in the walls of Jericho, then we are safe anywhere. If she was safe under those circumstances, we are safe under any circumstances. Follow me carefully. In the midst of general consternation, we have a blessed calm, just as she had. These people around her were going mad with fear. But she had a calm assurance. The psalmist said in Psalm 138, verses 7 and 8, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. What a promise for the people of God, walking in the midst of trouble. But God says, He reviveth. He stretched forth His hand against every enemy. His right hand will save us, preserve us, keep us, and bless us. Listen, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. As Paul put it to the Philippians, He who has begun a good work in us will complete it. He perfected to the day of Jesus Christ. God never does anything by half measure. He never leaves His work undone. In the midst of general consternation, we have a great calm. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Text of Scripture I have used more times than I can number, dealing with people in hospitals and institutions where people go when they have nervous breakdowns and things like that. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I want to be very delicate in what I say, because I also know what it is to fight the feelings of the flesh and the fears of the flesh and the failures of the flesh and the depressions of the mind. If the Apostle Paul felt those things, do not be surprised when you feel them. And he did feel them. Peter said the Christians of his day felt them. So I want to be very delicate in what I say. But nonetheless, Isaiah 26 and verse 3 makes it clear. The only way for a Christian to be so brought under fear as to be defeated is because his mind is not settled on Christ. He's not applying the gospel. He's not thinking through. One of the great words that the Apostle Paul used was the word reckon. It's the same as impute. Sometimes it's translated esteem. Or just think. It means to come to a conclusion on the basis of objective evidence. He says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. Here he's in the midst of great suffering and trial. His body is hurting. His mind is under pressure. Everywhere around him, the ungodly are threatening him. No man, since the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, has ever been put to the test so much as Paul. And I think as you read the New Testament, you have a psychology of Paul developed, which shows him to be a man of intense feeling, a man of great nervous reaction. He was not a stoic. He was not an unfeeling character. He was not chiseled out of granite. He was a real man of flesh and blood with a very volatile personality. He felt these things. But as he suffered, he says, I reckon. I refuse to be simply a victim of suffering. I refuse to allow the pressures and the suffering to render me a thoughtless person. I reckon I will go back to the gospel. I will go back to Christ. I will go back to understand all that I have and am in Christ. And when I see Jesus, I reckon that the sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that I have in Him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. That's why Paul could say, who shall separate us? Now, objectively, you can say, nothing, nobody can separate us from the love of Christ, but you and I know very well that many things can and have separated us from the experienced enjoyment of the love of Christ. It's easy to quote Romans 8. It's quite a different thing to live in the experience of it. But Paul lived in this experience. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. To feel that. To know that. To reckon on that is to have calm in the midst of general consternation. There's not much peace in this old world. There are not very many happy homes in Greenville today. But God's people can have and should have a great calm in the midst of the consternation. Then in the midst of a general collapse, we have a blessed stability. I want you to get the picture of the walls of Jericho, and they're all collapsing, sinking down into the ground. But the house of Rahab with the crimson cord stands fast until God brings her out of it into the camp of Israel. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:19, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. When everything else around us is collapsing, we have a stability. Grounded on Christ, we will not be moved. The psalmist could say that in truth. I shall not be moved. He asked the question, if the foundation be removed, What shall the righteous do? Many preachers have preached very eloquent sermons on the removing of the foundations. And when they've preached it all, they'd have been better keeping their mouths shut because it's nonsense. That's a hypothetical statement used deliberately to heighten the argument and show the impossibility. What are the foundations of the people of God, the eternal purpose of God? Is that going to be moved? Who's going to move it? Who's going to undo God's eternal election? Who's going to undo God's predestinating purpose? The incarnation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is that one of our foundations? Who's going to undo the deity of the Son of God? Or the incarnation of the Son of God? Or the blood atonement of the Son of God? Or the bodily resurrection of the Son of God? Or the imputation of the righteousness of Christ to His people? Who can ever shake such foundations? Thank God there's not a devil in hell. There's not even an angel in heaven. There's not a power in the whole universe that can even cause a tremor in the foundations of God. We have great stability.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.